We are back.
We are back. It's Shahrzad and Susan, and we have a little treat for you in a second.
Mm-hmm, we do. Well, we always want to start with a little story. And my story is, you know, when we first started trying to get pregnant, I was in my mid-30s, first mm-hmm. off, so I was a little bit worried, and my husband was really, really worried because he wanted to be a dad so bad, and we kept having all these friends, even in their early, like, 30s or even in their late 20s, they were starting to have these experiences where they weren't getting pregnant as quickly as they thought they would. I think it's, you know, we spend so much time trying not to get pregnant uh-huh. our entire lives. It's like from our teen years or whenever it is that you start having sex, and then you go all the way through your 20s until you find your husband or your partner, and then you're like, oh, I want to get pregnant, and then it's not as easy as you think it's going to be. And so you think back and you're like, why was I so worried? But whatever. We were worried that that we weren't going to get pregnant very quickly, or that maybe we wouldn't get pregnant at all and we'd have to do IVF, because it's such a big topic these days.
It is.
And it really weighed on me just thinking about having to go through all this, the hormones, the, you know, the expectations of what happens and everything, people knowing that you're trying to do this. It really was a lot. And I was worried that that was going to happen. And luckily, we didn't go through that. But I have so many friends that deal with it.
Absolutely. I know. I feel just really lucky in myself, too, that I didn't have to experience IVF, because I've seen the toll that it can take on women that have to get all the hormone injections and on the relationship. And then from what I've heard, is that so much pressure goes into the relationship that every time you're having sex with your partner,
it's not
to create a baby, and it's not
you
know, relaxed, or
it's not hanky panky
yeah,
anymore.
It's not hanky panky. But that brings us to our guest, mm-hmm. and I am so excited. Her name's Anna Victoria. She is the creator,
founder
mm-hmm. of the Fitbody app. She's a personal trainer. She's a fitness influencer.
She is freaking hot,
ray
you guys
of sunshine.
Oh my gosh, we have so many good things to say about her.
I really do. I welcome.
Thank you. Hi, guys. Sorry, I'm over here grinning like ear to ear. You guys are so sweet.
And I just want to say a couple things before we get into this. For anybody that might not be familiar with you, I love what you post online mm-hmm. because you're so honest and vulnerable. And I just freaking appreciate that, because you look like somebody that has a perfect life. You're gorgeous. You're fit. You have a handsome husband.
Handsome Italiano. I mean, gosh.
I just am so appreciative of your honesty and vulnerability, because you have a massive audience. And I just think it's so important to show the complex sides of humans. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
She is pregnant,
yes,
you guys.
Finally.
Yeah. But yeah. You went through, what, 2 years of trying to get pregnant with IVF, right?
Yes. So the first year, obviously, you know, we were just trying. And the second year was fertility treatments. So, we did 2 IUIs and then eventually IVF.
Got it. So I think it's so complex, even saying like IUIs and then IVF and saying the differences. I didn't know the differences back in the day. I think it's important to point out, you know, I think when I look at someone like you, you're beautiful and healthy, obviously healthy. You're working out, you're eating right, you're helping other people get, you know, healthy bodies and healthy body image and everything. But then you end up having problems mm-hmm. getting pregnant, and it probably screws with your head, right?
Oh, completely. Yeah, because like you said, like it's, you know, I lead a healthy lifestyle, but I don't lead an extreme lifestyle. You know, I think that's really important, that you're not, you know, like so obsessed with eating healthy that you never allow yourself to relax and enjoy mm-hmm. Or that you're beating your body into the ground. Like, that's not me. Like, I work out and eat healthy to just live a healthy and abled life. Mm-hmm. But I like my, you know, cheeseburgers and cupcakes. And, you know, so, yeah, it was really weird for me to be like, why? Like, I never imagined that I would ever have any trouble conceiving. I'm one of 7 children. My mom had all of us naturally.
Woohoo,
like,
mama.
Yeah, she like, and always talked about like the Bradley method and everything natural.
Wait,
you
what's
know?
The Bradley method?
I probably couldn't recite it to you, but I'm pretty sure like I've just always heard her talk about it. And I think it's just very like about you and your partner, like,
Pull out when you need to.
No,
don't pull
no.
out when you don't need to.
No, it's a birthing method. So pull the baby out when you need to. Yeah. I think it's just very much about like being in tune with your body and like the mental side of things. Like I've never been afraid of childbirth. And I say that now as I'm getting there and I'm like, shit. But because my mom has always been like, oh, it's what your body's made to do. Like you'll be fine. It's more mental, blah, 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 which obviously it's not that easy. Like, there are other complications that go into besides mental. But anyways, yeah, I just grew up never, ever imagining that I would have any issue. Like you said, tried to prevent pregnancy for so long, you know. And when we started trying, I was like, oh, like the doctor said, like, oh, it can take 6 months to a year. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. You're like, I got this. It's not going to be
hold my bag.
Right. Yeah.
Hold my bag.
So when it got to like after the 6 month mark, I was like, oh, what's going on? You know, my best friend and her partner started trying at the same time and they got pregnant first month, you know? And so it was like and I was so, so happy for them, you know? But I was like, oh, like at some point our pregnancies are going to overlap. You know, when it got to the point where she, you know, had the baby, it was like, you know, I'm still not there yet. But yeah, I think that it's so important to not put expectations on your trying to conceive journey, which is like honestly almost like impossible in the beginning because everyone is hopeful and as you should be. I don't want anyone to go in to think like, oh, this actually might take a really long time. But you know, it's a tricky thing.
Yeah, it really is.
So are you okay with me asking how old you are?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah, okay. 31.
31. Okay. Okay.
88.
So you're at like that, in my opinion, perfect stage to be having babies.
Yeah. We started trying. I was 29. Yeah, I believe. Yeah, just 29.
So at what point were you guys like, oh, I think we need to go be a little more serious about this?
Like month 9 is when I started getting a little worried. And it was like, well, let's see how these next few months go. And if we need to go see a doctor at like month 12, I think we cheated. We went month 11 because they say to wait 12 months.
But. Yeah, I was going to say that's kind of the thing that you hear from anybody when they're first starting to try is that any doctor, not any, don't quote me on this, but most doctors will say like give it a year of naturally trying, paying attention to your cycle, figuring out when you're the most fertile and then go into it, especially when you're young.
Which it's like it's that is the way that it should go. The part that is like a little frustrating, and this isn't for me, but for other women that end up needing to have fibroids removed or like that there is something wrong. Like had they just had an appointment, you know, earlier, they wouldn't have had to wait that year to figure out something is wrong. In my case, I had unexplained infertility. Everything is the word of my TTC journey was everything's perfect. You know, like all my labs were perfect. All of my ultrasounds, every, you know, we did biopsies, everything was fine. So my case is a little bit different, but yeah, it's just, it's hard. And that's not to say that they still shouldn't go through the year because
I mean, well, you can lie
to
too, right?
Everybody's different.
You could always go in and be like, we've been fucking for you.
Yeah. He hasn't pulled out once and where's my baby?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you maintain a positive attitude? Because you are a positive person.
Yeah. And this is the thing. I think it's really important to say I am innately positive. Like I am just... Yeah, like my whole life, I've just always been in eighth grade. I switched schools and my nickname was Smiley, you know, and it's just it is my nature. And I think that's important to say because it's not for some people. My husband, it's not. Mm-hmm. And you can't just say to someone like, oh, just stay positive. No, it doesn't work that way, you know, but at the same time, like being such a positive person there, I have gone through times in this journey that I was just like, the most like I don't want to say negative or spiteful, but like I had those feelings sometimes seeing someone announce or you know getting another negative test, and it's just so important to let yourself feel however you're feeling, feel it,
like cry it out if you need to.
Yes, 100%. Don't try to like shove it away because that's gonna build up and explode. You know. But then, like, give yourself some grace, too, you know, and not to hold on to that timeline so much. And my husband and I had to have those tough conversations of if it never happened, you know, like, we would be, like, he told me, he's the sweetest, like you said, he's Italian, heart on his sleeve, bleeding heart.
Aww.
He told me all the time, like, it is okay if it's just you and me forever. Like, I could cry. You know, and so I think that just, you know, realizing that your journey, it might not look like everyone else's, you know, it might go to IVF, it might go to embryo adoption, it might go to surrogacy, it might go to adoption. And those are all beautiful paths and you shouldn't put your expectations in a box.
Charzad, are you tired?
Well, I mean, hashtag duh, you know, I am a mom. That kind of comes with the territory, but
it's true.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, well, you know what I recommend?
Give me some tips.
I recommend a white noise machine. And the one that I always use is the Dome by Yoga Sleep because it is by far the best one. And they know how to make trusted products that work.
White noise is a natural approach to better sleep and relaxation. Yoga Sleep makes sound machines for home, travel, and baby. And I know you love for the babes.
I love it for the babies. Yes. I've been using it. My husband actually turned me on to the Dome, and we were using that for sleep for ourselves. And then when we had babies, everyone recommended a white noise machine. So of course we got more, and we just white noise machine it up. I mean, our rooms, every single room has a white noise machine. I even use their travel white noise machine because I love it so much, and I use that for my babies while we're on vacation. You can even hang it off of their stroller, so mm-hmm. if you're out, it helps quiet everything up around them. They just sleep so much better, and I tell you, I sleep so much better with the white noise machine because it's just relaxing. It drowns everything else out.
It's like mimicking the sound that you heard in the womb as a child.
potentially, if anything, it's just that you're not hearing everything else.
All the outside noise, yeah. Well, good news, guys. We have a discount code for you. Woo woo. You guys can go to yogasleep.com/fam to save an exclusive 20% off a sound machine for natural sleep for the whole fam. That's yogasleep.com/fam to get 20% off. yogasleep.com/fam.
Take us through the experience for somebody that's just starting to maybe realize that maybe they're not going to get pregnant that easily.
Yeah.
Tell us what your experience was.
So you start by going to a fertility clinic or a reproductive endocrinologist.
And how did you choose the doctor?
Such a good question. I mean, I went to my OB. Luca also went to his doctor, and he did like the sperm analysis and everything. Mm-hmm. And they both recommended us to the same clinic.
Oh.
And so like SCRC, Southern California Reproductive Center.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of them.
Yeah. And I got recommended to Dr. Alexander. He got recommended to a different doctor there. And I was just like, oh, I don't know. I'll go with the one that he recommended to me, mm-hmm. you know. So I went to her. I was with her for a few months. And it's hard because it's so funny. My OB at that appointment was like, do you need things sugar-coated? And I was like, no. Like, yeah. I'm a strong, independent woman. Yeah. Like, he's like, do you need your hand held? And I was just like, please. Like, yeah. I've been on my own since I was like practically 12, you know? And, no, I needed my hand held.
Like, oh, really?
It's such a scary experience. It's not just a normal doctor's appointment, you know? Yeah. Like,
let's be clear, a normal women's doctor's appointment is you have to expose your vagina to the doctor.
Yeah.
And you're just like laying there feeling really humbled.
The most vulnerable position.
Yeah. I'm forever like going to be numb to like pap smears or like intravaginal ultrasound.
Yeah.
It's funny. I, just a little side note, I got to my week, I think it was 12 ultrasound, and like I was waiting for her to leave the room for me to get undressed, because in IVF you do intravaginal multiple times a week for weeks.
Like they're putting stuff in your vagina,
the like Doppler thing. I don't know if it's Doppler, but it's like an intravaginal, that Doppler probably isn't the right word, but yeah.
Wait, what are they doing? Why?
To see your uterus.
It's like they're taking photos and stuff, and like just,
well, they see it just like how you would see a baby on the ultrasound.
Right. Yeah,
it's the same thing,
like an ultrasound. Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know if it's because like even when you're pregnant, you can't do a belly ultrasound until like you can't really see anything until like, I don't know, don't quote me on this, but like maybe 10 weeks you know? So up until then they do intravaginal, even when you're pregnant.
Because they're just checking and checking and checking.
Mm-hmm. To be sure like that your lining is thick, to be sure to check your eggs. They literally count the eggs like with that thing.
Wait, you know how many eggs you have now?
How many I had in that cycle? Yeah, when I did IVF, I had 25.
That's a good
eggs.
Amount.
Yeah. It is. It is a good amount. Some women have two.
I've heard that.
Know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Hey, it only takes one, you know, I've heard of them having one retrieved, one fertilized, one make it to blastocyst, one transferred, and it worked. So anyways. But I was waiting for her to leave the room for me to get undressed. And she was looking at me like, it's a belly ultrasound. Yeah. And I was like, oh, hallelujah, I've graduated to like regular ultrasounds.
So you got the doctor. They had to hold your hand because.
Yeah, I think it's just that like, when I would get phone calls about my blood work or results or whatever they saw, it was very almost like transactional, like just very like, okay, this is what it was. All right, bye. Like I wasn't used to that, I guess.
You actually wanted information. Yeah, you wanted to be like, girl, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Like you do this with people that follow you.
Right. And I never would have anticipated that, but it's just such a different situation, you know, that, you know, in the beginning I was just kind of like, oh my gosh, they're I don't want to say cold because they're not. My doctor is the sweetest woman ever and I love her.
But it's a business at the end of the day. They've got things to do.
She's busy. She's a busy woman. Like SCRC is probably one of the busiest clinics in LA because they're one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And
like people are flying in for this place, right?
Their waiting rooms are packed.
Oh my God, I've heard about this.
Really?
Oh yes. Like you walk in and it's like, All kinds of people.
My visual just keeps going back to Sex and the City.
Yeah.
The episode where Charlotte's going to the like acupuncture. You haven't seen it, but that's okay. It's okay. I'm
a little older than you. I'm 36.
So I watch more Sex and the City. But I want to. So, I mean, you started with IUI.
Yeah. So that's always what the standard and a lot of like. Not that I had insurance for IVF, but a lot of like the insurances that typically will cover it, you have to do IUIs first. Okay. Like you have to do like almost five.
Oh, wait. So insurance, some insurance will cover that stuff.
I actually didn't know
that
because that another thing is like.
It just always sounds so fucking expensive.
Sort of like a privileged person's journey.
Yeah.
You know, because if you don't have money, you really can't afford IVF if it's not covered by insurance.
I love that you brought this up because I have seen this discussion in IVF like Facebook
groups. I have
groups,
too. Yeah.
And I have received like negative comments of like, well, you're lucky that you could do this. And yes, I am. Like, I really am.
Yeah.
But for other women that I've seen their stories, they're like, no, I went bankrupt. I took out we have, you know, loans and bills and bills, like we didn't have money. So we took it out, you know, like we got a loan. So yes and no, you know, it depends on the couple and what they're willing to risk.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I've seen that discussion a lot, like, because we've talked about IVF on our YouTube channel in the past. And some people have mentioned that, like, it's a rich person's problem. And, you know,
I don't think I've heard. Yeah. Like you said, I've heard people that I mean, I've got friends that don't have a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Who wanted a baby so, so bad
and did whatever they could to get it. Yeah.
Wait, but that's interesting to know that the first step could potentially be covered by insurance.
Yeah. For the few usually it's like really good.
Insurance.
Like,
which means
really
that they either have a great job that
great
covers
job.
That or they have the
like
money.
There's a thing in these IVF groups where people are saying like Starbucks covers IVF.
Really?
Or they have a certain amount of coverage. So women will get part-time jobs, or I don't know if it's part-time, maybe they need to be full-time, but as a barista,
well, that makes,
to get coverage.
Cool.
I know somebody
like
who
that.
Does that.
Yeah.
Not for the IVF
that.
Coverage, but for
just the insurance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, good job, Starbucks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So that was a few months of a process.
Yes.
And what is that process?
So intrauterine insemination is where they don't have to take my eggs out. So it's a lot less invasive.
Mm-hmm.
They just take the sperm with a catheter and insert it into my
cervix. Is this the turkey baster?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I feel like they're all
turkey basters
to some level. But yeah, and it's just not as invasive as IVF.
Okay.
And then you wait, you know, the 2 week wait, the dreaded 2 week wait.
Yeah.
Wait, what makes this different than just having sex though? And him not believing.
Timing, right?
And I did do injections in my belly for like hormones to also grow my eggs to be, you know, as big as they can get, or one. Hopefully only one. It's really about because for me personally, I actually don't know if I was ovulating.
Well, I think most women don't.
Yes.
And that's a pretty common thing, is to not really know exactly when you're ovulating. And then I've heard like couples that are trying, the man will save up his sperm to have sex during prime ovulation time with the woman. And if it's just off by a day or two, it could just have been a waste. And, you know,
saving up their sperm.
Yes, I've heard that. I know a couple. I won't say them right now because they'd probably be embarrassed about it. But I do know a couple who's
shoot out like a million sperm per.
Well, is it that?
I'm exaggerating.
Can quote me on this one. But I did hear of a couple and the man was saving his sperm to have a fresh batch.
This is the difference between women and men. Men have always have a fresh batch.
Yeah.
Men out there listening?
Yeah. We were told don't hold it. Every 2 to 3 days is
ideal. Flow.
I don't remember the reason why, but they were like, don't feel like you need to do that. Probably because like you said, they have millions and billions. So.
Yeah. They're always making new spermies. that makes sense that they're encouraging it a lot more too when you're doing the IUI. They're giving you the hormones. They're giving you. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they do typically say to abstain, and the IUI was like over a year ago, so I don't remember exactly, but for sure in IVF, they told us to abstain after the transfer because they don't want
anything
to like mess it up. Yeah. Whatever. So with the IUIs, it just guarantees that you ovulate. You take a trigger shot and mm-hmm. it literally makes you ovulate.
Oh,
I've heard of this.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
So, one hormone that's really important to sustain a pregnancy is progesterone. Mm-hmm. And I had low progesterone. And
is that maybe because you're fit? Maybe like, does it mess with your hormones slightly?
It could be. There's no correlation. Like there's no scientific study or anything. Like no one really knows. I do also think that just all the toxins in our environment, in our mm-hmm. beauty products, in our food, and
living
just
in Los Angeles, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's LA. I think it's LA air.
Yeah, we were living in Italy for 3 years. You know, when I was living with him there with his family. And I always think, like, if we were just still living in Italy, I feel like I wouldn't have this.
You would have
issue.
Been pregnant.
Life
you
is so much more relaxed. Too.
Yes.
I mean, they're kind of
okay with drinking wine over there. It's like not a thing. It's just normal. Yeah.
You mm-hmm. just chill.
I mean, at least that's what I've heard from my Italians.
Yeah.
And so, I feel like sex is in the air. Like, I get off the airplane in Italy and I'm like, I am ready.
I feel sexy when I'm in Italy, and I've only been there twice. I'm like, let's fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Exactly. Italy just has that air and the water or something. It's like,
and
you're going to get pregnant just
why I married my husband.
Everything I've put in my mouth in Italy was delicious. Yeah. Nasty mom over here.
Susan.
Yes.
How do you like doing laundry for two little kids now?
My goodness. Doing laundry for two kids means that we're doing laundry all the time, and I'm so happy because we just got Clean Cult, and if you haven't tried it, it's awesome because they have tons of cleaning products, but they also have tons of laundry products, and my favorite products by them are their laundry products. They have, instead of dryer sheets, they have these dryer balls that you use, and they're usable, they're reusable up to 1,000 times, I think maybe even more than 1,000 times, and I love them. I never knew that this concept existed, and I feel like I'm wasting less, which has been a big deal for me. I feel like I want to just stop buying all this stuff that I have to keep throwing out. When it comes to like the beauty industry and the cleaning industry and stuff, I feel like we're always constantly buying more stuff and tossing it out, all this plastic. And now with Clean Cult, I'm not doing that because I'm just getting their refills, and I love all of their packaging.
Their packaging is so cute, and you guys can break up with plastic. I'm trying to break up with single-use plastic. And all their stuff comes in these really, really cute little milk cartons. I'm a big fan of Clean Cult. I love the way it smells. I love that there's no toxic ingredients. These are non-toxic coconut-based formulas. So I love that you can use Clean Cult around your kids or your pets. I don't have any pets, but I have two kids, and they're very dirty. But you can use all this stuff around them because they're non-toxic coconut-based formulas.
And you love that kind of stuff.
I love that kind of stuff. It smells good. It makes me feel good when I'm using it. And I'm cleaning up my house just constantly. You guys can go to cleancult.com to get a customized starter kit and adjustable paper-based refill delivery service that fits the needs of your home and lifestyle. So depending on how many kids you have or how much you cook and clean at your house, you know, you can find a plan that works for you. Like I said, I am cleaning all the time, but I don't mind it as much because I think it smells really good. I've told you, I love the way it smells. Mm-hmm. And the packaging looks really pretty. It fits house.
Me too. It looks really cute in my house. I have one of these soap dispensers in every bathroom now too. I didn't think that this was going to work as well as some of my other cleaners, but this really does. It's just as effective as other leading detergents.
You get the same level of clean without the chemicals. And you know what? This is a good...
Toxic chemicals.
Toxic chemicals. This is a good way to get your kids involved in like doing chores because these are really safe and easy for them to use as well.
Yeah, because it's not going to, you know, like make their skin pill or anything like that. It's just nice and gentle for their skin. So you guys, get your customized starter kit, an adjustable paper-based refill delivery system that fits all of your needs for your home and your lifestyle. So get started with Clean Cult right now. Go to cleancult.com/fam for 25% off of your first kit, but only until May 30th. So hop on that. It's 25% off now through May 30th at cleancult.com/fam.
So pretty much we did two IUIs and obviously didn't work. And Luca, my husband, was the one that was like, can we take a break, please? Like him, he was like, just because, like I said, he's so emotional. He takes on like I'm the one that's more like kind of, I don't want to say stone cold, but like when it's times of stress, like I kick in to like my best self almost, mm-hmm. you know, and like just getting shit done. Mm-hmm. And he was the one that he's like, I can't see you go through this.
Yeah. You're almost like making it too business-like. Is that kind of what it was?
I mean, I don't know. Cause I don't think I ever like exhibited. I will say I was hormonal, you know, because of everything that they're giving you. I had more ups and downs with the IUI medication and hormones than IVF.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. So I think it's letrozole, I think, which is similar to Clomid. I think that's the one that did it.
Yeah.
So we took a break for a few months and
still having sex and trying, but not really.
But like not trying. Yeah. Which like you said in the beginning, like it gets so robotic and it's so like not what it should be anymore. Like it takes a toll on relationships.
Of course,
you know?
I know.
So yeah, we just kinda went back to living life. It was great. We went to Italy our anniversary.
I think I remember seeing that on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. We went to Lake Como and went to see his family and yeah, and then it was like, okay, if we don't conceive by July, then we will do IVF. Got to July, actually had that cycle canceled because they needed to do some other tests. Mm-hmm. And then we started in August, all the injections, and I did the egg retrieval in September.
And that's a painful procedure.
It is.
Right?
I really was not prepared for how painful it was.
Really?
I think you can't be prepared unless you go through it. Like, you
really?
Yes. Like, but it's important to say, because I got, you know, I was very open on Instagram about like what I was, you know, going through. And I got so many DMs and some women would say, I was back to work the next day. You know, I was like, okay, might be okay. And other women were like, no, it's really painful. It turns out the number of eggs you have retrieved is kind of what will determine your pain. Yeah.
Oh.
And the threshold is like, if you have more than 10 to 15 eggs retrieved, that's where it gets more and more painful. And I had 25.
Right.
Because you just have a better chance of conceiving if you get more eggs out, right?
It depends on the egg quality.
Right.
So
right.
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. But each egg retrieved is another poke to the ovaries. And so more pokes, more pain, more recovery. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've said this before because it's a little graphic, but I literally felt like that night trying to go pee, I felt like I had a knife up my vagina. Like, I was like in tears, like not wanting to go to the bathroom because it was so painful.
Well, I feel like that's great practice for birth. Exactly. I feel that's a great practice for birth.
Yeah.
I've never had egg retrieval, of course, so I can't speak on that, but I've felt a lot of pain with childbirth.
For sure. So the recovery for the egg retrieval was about 5 days until I could walk comfortably.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. You know what? Birth might not be this bad. Birth might not be. Honestly, some women have glorious births. They're just like, boop, baby's out. They're holding him. They're walking around. And it's all good.
Like, this is just my own weird thing, but I feel like the more fit you are, the better chance you have
I agree.
Of a great recovery 100%. And a better experience during birth.
I agree.
That's good.
I already, since I've announced my pregnancy, and I actually was on bed rest for the first 12 weeks, but I got cleared like 2 weeks ago.
Wait, was that part of the protocol to be on bed rest?
Yes and no. So, you know, so September 22nd, we did the retrieval. November 20th, we did the transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And
because they have to like grow your egg essentially in a petri dish with the sperm. And
well,
then
that's embryo. That's embryo.
Yeah.
Right?
The embryo.
Right.
Yeah. So
the
they
embryo.
Take the embryo, they fertilize it with the sperm, and then it becomes a fertilized embryo. And then there's two different types of IVF transfers. There's fresh or frozen.
Mm-hmm.
If you do fresh, they transfer it to you right away. If they do frozen, they obviously freeze it. They can do genetic testing, which we did. We did a frozen
might as
transfer.
Well. Yeah, might as well.
Yeah. Well, it's really expensive. So some people
dude,
don't
it's
do
expensive
it.
Even if you're pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
right.
Might as well do it one
absolutely.
Way or the other, right?
So so we did the transfer November 20th. I got the positive test 5 days later.
God.
I could not believe it.
Wait, so I saw your video where you where you basically told Luca that you're pregnant, and it was the sweetest thing. But I was so surprised when you said it'd been 5 days. How do you when you're normal go through like a regular pregnancy, you have to wait like a month. What is it, a month or something before you can find out?
Okay, typically from ovulation to day 14 when you would get your period.
Right.
This is a great question. So my embryo was 5 days old because when they retrieved it, day zero is the day of the egg retrieval. All of those 25 eggs, they have to see how many of them get to day 5, which is the blastocyst stage.
Okay.
And each day they dwindle down. You know, it went from 25, only 20 were viable. It went down to 17 on day one, went down to, I think, 14 on day
three. Holy moly.
Went down to 13 on day five. Then that's like day five. There's some 3-day transfers, but day five is typically the standard. Then with genetic testing, it dwindled down to 6.
Oh, wow.
So that tells you, and that's actually, we were pretty on par with like, or on track with the statistics. They say from retrieval to day 5, 50%. Mm-hmm. And then from day 5 to genetic testing, another 50%. But that also tells you, like, in a natural cycle, typically they say you have about like a 25% chance, I believe. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me, but it's because, you know, chromosomal abnormalities or just not a viable egg is what you might have released that month.
Right.
So, wow.
Right.
Yeah. So
I bet that day was a really good day for you.
Yeah,
let's talk about that.
Yeah, to answer your question, I had a day 5 embryo. It was 5 days after the transfer. So that's 10 days after ovulation, which is typically like the earliest you could get a positive,
right,
which is why I wasn't expecting it.
So you just took an at-home pregnancy test.
Right. And my beta, which is your beta blood draw, when they can confirm pregnancy with your, you know, blood, wasn't for another week.
Mm.
So that was like 17 days after.
Oh, right. I saw you told Luca, or he said something about like how you're gonna have to wait still though, like a whole week
to completely confirm it.
So it's like you're confirmed but not really.
Yes,
but it was the first time you'd ever seen a positive.
Really?
Yes.
So that's just hope right there, and that's sometimes all you need.
It was one step closer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the entire 2 years I was like squinting at negative tests, like, is there a little line? In this one it was like, whoa, it's right there.
I have chills.
Oh, me too.
I'm so happy for you.
You should watch this video. It's the sweetest thing.
I know,
and it's like not even really an edited video. It's so sweet. Yeah.
I love pregnancy announcement videos. Oh. And I feel like I've seen so many of them. People that I don't know or have never met. And I'm like weeping.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, I'm so happy for you.
No, you know what'll make you weep is they're telling their family and friends.
I already could cry. And I don't even, you know, I don't know your family and friends.
I was
friends,
like, why didn't I come up with great ideas like this? Why am I like, I'm not creative like that.
And then you see these people that have these YouTube videos where they go to these like crazy lengths like tell their family, like they'll wear a shirt that says like mom to be, and like they'll wait, you know, to
for
see
someone
who
to know someone.
It.
Well, you know what they did is, I don't know how you set it up, but they were like about to take a picture, and she does a countdown, and she does it in Italian. P.S. in some of the clips, which was impressive. I was like, is she really? Oh
well,
my
you
god,
speak
she says
Mandarin
it.
Yeah. Too.
I mean, I did study Mandarin for a year in China, but. And that was
on
in 2013.
So it's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Like don't go and try to challenge
exactly,
it, right?
No, I remember like individual words, like no sentence structure.
Yeah.
You know,
that's totally.
Impressive. But, but you should have seen. So this video, it's so cute because they're basically she's counting down to take a picture, like 3, 2, 1 cheese or 1, 2, 3 cheese, whatever. And instead of saying cheese, she says, I'm pregnant.
Oh.
And you can see they like all take kind of a second. They're like, huh?
Yeah.
What? Like Luca's brother?
I know.
He's only like all of them like kind of stood there. And I think they almost thought like maybe you said something wrong.
They
right?
did. They thought I either said the wrong thing because it was in Italian. And they're like, does she know?
Because say you're pregnant in Italian.
Sono incinta.
Oh,
and
sono incinta.
They thought I was saying cheese, like cheese in incinta, you know, like it's kind of could be mistaken. And so his parents were especially like, you can hear his dad go, oh, like right when I say it. And that was his gut reaction of like, what did she just say? But then he stops because he's like,
oh, nobody else
in.
Is.
Like,
yeah, nobody else is saying anything. So, and then his brother.
Yes.
His brother goes,
whoa. We zoomed in on like every person's face and like slow-mo. It was amazing. The reason why everyone was so shocked is because they knew we were doing IVF, but we told them we were doing it after the holidays.
Yeah.
Because if it didn't work, like we didn't want anyone's hopes to be up.
And
know?
Also, you don't want to have to explain yourself. Holy moly. I've seen you online. Because this is that's what makes it so different. Also, your experiences. You've got over 1 million followers.
Just on Instagram.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
And or one Instagram account. You've got more than one
Instagram account. Almost every account you have has millions of people waiting to see every move you make.
And so you feel this. I know that we know this. Like you feel this pressure to have to explain what's going on in your life, which most people don't have to do.
Yeah.
And then you're keeping people updated. I saw you telling people how you're gaining weight on purpose and like all that kind of stuff. That's a lot to have to.
Yeah.
So I understand keeping it secret because it's not just the disappointment for other people, but it's like having to always explain yourself must suck.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because go ahead.
No, I was just I know I don't know you that well, but I'm really proud of you for explaining. Yeah. I mean, you have given hope to so many people just by your transparency. And I just, I you know, I'm going to mention that again because I just really, really appreciate it. There's a lot of people that just need to hold on to a little bit of hope in a dark time, and you're giving that to them. And I guarantee, and I'm sure you can confirm this, that probably thousands and thousands of women have appreciated your story. I mean, I imagine the influx of DMs and the thank yous for talking about it is just mind blowing.
It really is. Probably. It's literally thousands. And
yeah,
like, even
I know,
the
I bet.
Night that I posted about, you know, us trying to conceive and it not working, you know, like, it's funny, I was going to an event that night. And so I had to put my phone away. And it's a good thing I did, because it was just like an explosion. Yeah, I think, you know, my stance on things is, I'm a sharer. You know, I just am, and I see no shame in your a journey, no
Thank
matter
God.
What it looks like.
Yeah.
I almost feel like there's like something in my brain that's like missing, you know? I'm like,
no, I mean, we get it. We're one in the same and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So if I could share my journey to help someone know that just they're not alone, or possibly hopefully give them hope now that it's worked for us, like, it's no skin off my back. Like, of course, I want to do that. And also, it's a learning opportunity to help educate women, because, you know, even starting, like, the lack of knowledge that I had about my own body, my cycle, about just all of this at almost 30 years old blows my mind.
Well, what were some of the things, since we haven't been through it, so we don't really know, like, what else? I mean, we asked you like the topical questions, but I guess when you're getting into it, what are things that you wish you would have known?
Oh, that's a great question.
Oh, I think basic questions just about like my cycle and ovulating, you know, like that whole thing. And then even just like the hormones, you know, like progesterone and everything. That's something that I wish that I knew earlier on, that I could have had tested earlier, like in that year that I was waiting, you know, just a simple blood test. Like, are my progesterone levels where they need to be to sustain a pregnancy? They weren't the months that I tested.
Oh.
So like, of course, you know, it's not.
You're not going to get pregnant. Yeah.
So that's one thing. And then I think just, I feel like it's really just basics. Yeah. About like your body and the cycle and how fertilization works. Like, a lot of people, what do they say? They asked me, did you do the implantation? They mean the embryo. They mean the transfer.
Right.
I cannot implant that embryo in my body. My body has to do that itself.
Mm.
And I actually was
like,
correct.
Like, nobody, like, the doctor can't implant it. Your body has to accept it.
They can transfer it to you, and it's going to be floating around a little bit, and it has to implant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't either. I think a nurse commented, she was so sweet and gracious about it, but she was like, the correct term is transfer, because your body has to implant it, you know? So some commenters are very nice. You know how they correct, you know, things, but so little things like that.
You guys, over the last few weeks, we've had the pleasure of working with High Smile as our sponsor, and I really love this teeth whitening kit. I also really like that it doesn't have hydrogen peroxide as one of the main ingredients, and it works great even on sensitive teeth like mine.
Yeah, well, because it won't give you any sensitivity. If anything, it's like strengthening your teeth and making them look really pretty and healthy and blingy.
Hello.
I really love how easy it is to use the teeth whitening kit. My teeth are white, and I love that. People always comment. My dentist even said something to me the other day. He's like, you do something at home, don't you? And I was like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. It's called High Smile. And, you know, they also have a 30-day money-back guarantee. You have different payment options if you want to. They even have things like Afterpay, for instance. They offer standard 2-4 business day shipping to the United States. And they also have express shipping that takes 1-2 business days. It's awesome.
They ship to all major markets in the U.S., U.K., Europe, and Australia.
And as part of our partnership with High Smile, we are offering our listeners an exclusive 20% off all of the High Smile products at checkout. So if you apply the code FAM20, that's FAM20, you'll get 20% off for a limited time only.
And I think, like, IVF just in general is becoming a little bit more mainstream because women are having babies a little bit older.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of women I know that are that have had, I guess, just a little bump in the road when it comes to getting pregnant are like 35 to like 40, 45, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, so it's just good to talk about it. And it's a bummer that there is shame associated with it.
You think there's shame associated with it?
Sometimes. Yeah, I think. Shame from other people, but the
internal.
The internal, like, I wish that my body could have done this
there were times that, yeah, I even felt like just, I don't want to say embarrassed or shame, but just like, I don't want to say disappointed, but just not happy.
Right.
You know?
Right,
like,
right.
And, you know, I always, you know, think though that like, if this is a journey that God need me to go through to help other people, like I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, also because, you know, thankfully we had a happy ending.
Totally. No, that's always like, at least like, thankfully you had a happy ending. Cause that's, you know, that's a big deal.
I have to say though, in the like infertility world, a lot of women, they are traumatized from their experience. And I believe I've even seen studies where the impact can be compared to PTSD, having PTSD. And a lot of women that go through IVF or go through fertility treatments or just have a long road to conceiving, they can't enjoy their pregnancies or they can't relax.
Because they're so worried,
until they have a baby in their arms.
Yeah.
Like that. And I felt some parts of that. I'm trying really hard to not.
Yeah.
Stay in that zone too much because I want to be so funny, I'm so happy and positive, but like since getting pregnant I'm like is it gonna continue, and Luca is the one like that's like just think thoughts, you know, like we completely switched, you know, roles.
And I can imagine that you like you don't want to complain, because I complained my second pregnancy so much, and I actually had people being like, this is triggering, there are so many people that and I'm like, listen, I feel for my friends, I have so many friends that go through some kind of issue with trying to conceive, but that doesn't mean that my experience isn't my experience. I had a friend who went through almost 6 years of trying to conceive, IVF and after IVF, like it just kept, they had to go, they even adopted one child and then did IVF again. They went through years of it. And then when she finally got pregnant, boy, did she hate pregnancy.
100%.
She was so fucking annoyed. She was like, I've tried so hard to get pregnant and then now I hate being pregnant.
I've even had, you know, little moments. I mean, like I said, I was on bed rest for 12 weeks, you know.
How are you?
Yeah, so I'm doing good now because I'm out of the first trimester.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a new person. But so I'll tell you what happened with the bed rest is I had a subchorionic hematoma, which is I think like a hemorrhage kind of thing, or you can think of it as like a pop blood vessel outside of the uterus. And I bled a lot, like
that's so fucking
and so
scary.
That scared you.
I went to the bathroom and I think I was 5 weeks 6 days, almost 6 weeks, and it was like the heaviest day of my period. Like it wasn't just a little bit, it was like,
so you obviously thought miscarriage.
And like my gut reaction was like, of course, like of course it wouldn't have worked or continued, you know. But then like the logical side of me kicked in where an IVF for subchorionic hematoma, for short SCH, they're common in IVF pregnancies. I think, don't quote me, but I think it's because literally with the catheter they're poking places that shouldn't be poked, and it kind of creates a little, I don't know, wound kind of thing, maybe. Mm-hmm. I really am not sure. That's just my theory. And yeah, so it has to heal. And, you know, if you're not, you know, resting enough, or I don't know, you are supposed to be on like not complete bed rest, but for like at least 2 days after the transfer.
Yep.
So I bled. I called. I was like still on the toilet at work. There were like women and other, and I was like in other stalls, and I was like calling like, hey, this is what's going on, and they're like, come in right now. Literally within 30 minutes I was doing an ultrasound. They said everything's fine, it's SCH. You need to be on bed rest for 3 days, like bed rest, you know, and then after that modified, like light bed rest, also pelvic rest, which means no sex.
She looks all sad.
No, I know. I was like, Luca, because it's just like, you know, this whole, our intimacy has like been stripped from us a little bit throughout this whole journey, you know. And so that was a tough period. We're out of it now though.
Yeah, good. That's why she's so happy right now.
Second pregnancy, I was like, don't touch me.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Don't touch me at all. During pregnancy was not my favorite thing, course when you get close to the end, everybody's like, well, sperm, semen induces labor.
Oh, I didn't even
labor.
Consider
semen
that.
Induces labor. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do is bend over. It's not like I'm riding my husband at this crazy weight of 210 pounds. I just had to bend over and take it. Oh god. It was like such a large person. I'm so happy for you. And I also want to talk about other little babies that you have. You have a new podcast.
Oh, yeah.
She looked at you like, what baby?
I know,
what
it's like my golden retriever. He's two.
I do love your golden retriever.
I think it's fun to talk about your career. And I also feel like we should tell the story of how we met.
Oh my God.
Somebody, I love how I met stories.
I know.
Even if it's just.
You guys, we met. So we went, it was like fancy. We got on a helicopter in Los Angeles. flew with you on a helicopter.
Just by chance,
we
were
on the... I have a picture of us three, by the
way. I know, me too. I love that photo. We look all sexy.
Yeah, we're like, well, we're waiting around at the airport. It's this little mini airport in Santa Monica. And we're looking around and all these chicks are buff. Like buff.
Not just buff, but like svelte and flexible.
Yeah.
And Susan and I were like, moms.
I think were we the only moms that were there? I think there might have been.
Yeah, I think
there might have been like girls that were teen moms at one point or something.
We got invited to go do this fun day on behalf of BMW to like race cars. And of course, I jumped at the chance to do something like that.
And then Charizard snuck me in, basically.
And then I was I was a little tired and off that morning. I don't know if you remember,
I
hadn't slept that well. And then we show up and everybody is a fitness fucking supermodel. And I was like, what?
I know. And then
where am I right now?
So we felt so weird. But then we got to sit on the helicopter with you. And it turned out Anna was so sweet.
And I just remember... Like, yeah, being on the helicopter, and Susan and I obviously know each other very well, and you were so low, and we just started chatting, and you were so friendly and approachable and wonderful.
She was the only one that would kind of smirk.
You were kind of the only one that was, like, really friendly.
Because we'd be like, did you hear us on the helicopter? We had these little mics on our headphones, and we're like, check, one, two, three, like, being really annoying, and nobody else would, like,
everybody
would
thought
be just
we were
kinda
funny.
Like, we think we're funny.
Usually we perform well as a little duo together, because we can, like, bounce off each other.
You're the only one
who thought
smirked.
We were like it's slightly entertaining that day. So we just appreciated that.
Yeah.
And then we raced BMWs and then we helicoptered back and we like, I don't know. I started following you on Instagram and I was like, wait a minute. She's not like the other fitness girls. No offense to any other fitness girls. I don't follow a ton of them, but you just seemed so happy and light and bubbly and real and honest. And
like she actually helps people. She's not just showing off the tush.
Exactly. No. Yes. Exactly. Like you really approach fitness like somebody's like bestie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I obviously resonated with that.
Yeah.
And then I've just been stalking you ever since.
Same,
friend.
Same.
And I was so excited to have you come in here.
Same. I love that you're starting to post on YouTube. So I have a feeling we're going to follow your pregnancy journey there. And the podcast, is that what that's about?
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, so the podcast is Your Best Life with Anna Victoria. And the point of it is like everyone's best life looks different. You know, there's no one like, you know, some people want to live in a city and have this really exciting life. And some people just want to live in their hometown and they are as happy as a peach. You know, like I'm from a small hometown, you know, so like I have friends that are just so happy with their families, you know. And so, you know, I think that's like one of the most important messages, but also to give, you know, that guidance and information. Like it will be focused on like health and wellness, but still other aspects will, you know, go in there too, financially, you know, relationships. We haven't, at this point in time, we haven't filmed anything yet.
Oh, okay.
So it's still all just kind of like what's in my head and what it's going to be, but it'll be out mid-March. So yeah, I'm really excited. It's something that people asked me for so long and I was just like, oh. Like, I don't know if I can do that. Like, I don't know if I can add another thing on my plate.
Yeah,
you know, like
we thought the same thing when we were debating a podcast. We were like, do we have the time?
Or like, does anybody care? You know?
Yeah,
hopefully we'll be interesting.
You know what? This has turned out to be so much fun.
Yeah. It's therapy.
Oh, I believe
it's just so fun. Yeah. I love it.
Well, and it's funny because I feel like so much of my brand actually, like I started on Instagram very early, like 2013.
Wow.
But I had a separate anonymous account. It wasn't like my account. I branched off to my Anna Victoria page like 2014, 2015.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, my brand really kind of started like flourishing. And I say brand now because that's like what it is. But at that time, that's not where my mind was.
Right.
It was just like, I'm just here sharing my journey, connecting with other people. I started my fitness journey living in China. I had no one to talk to. You know? So I was like, I'm going to create an Instagram account, hopefully meet some people that are doing the same thing. That was in 2012. Like Instagram is not what it was.
Right.
Today.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. Snapchat is what really helped me connect with people because Instagram didn't have Insta stories yet. And that's where I could start, like, people could hear my voice and see my personality, you know, and that's where people were like, oh, Anna, like, you're so motivated, you know? And so I do feel like Insta stories, they're great and I do them all the time, but I feel like people aren't as connected through that. So I'm really excited for a podcast to, like, kind of like my Snap fam is like the OG, like really like my girl gang. And I'm so excited to kind of bring an even bigger, you know, kind of.
And it's more intimate look into your life and everybody that you bring on.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that. I love seeing all of this that's happening for you. We're going to have you back when you have the baby so we can get your birth story and hear about your first like couple of months being a mama. Cause that's a whole other journey.
We're actually moving states.
Oh my gosh. What? I forgot about that. I saw you posted you moving to Austin.
Moving to Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. We'll come visit you there.
We're
moving
mid April. I'll be like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. Have you found a doctor there?
No.
Oh my God.
I know. It's like I just graduated from my fertility clinic to a regular OB here. It's a big deal in the IVF world to graduate.
Congrats.
Thanks. And so, yeah, now I'm going to have to find like another doctor and everything in Austin.
Oh.
And like we're building a house. Yeah. So, like, we have to furnish it. All this stuff when I'm going to be pregnant. I don't know what we got ourselves.
You'll get it. You'll make
podcast.
It.
Yeah.
You'll make it.
Our app is always a constant, you know.
I feel like Austin is so fun. And there's actually a lot of Californians there.
Yeah, there are. There's a whole like, it's like a trend.
I know.
Totally.
So. Yeah, because you can have some more space there for your doggy and your baby to run around and play. Wait, do you know what you're having yet?
I don't. Oh, so, SCRC knows. When you do PGS, the genetic testing, they can find out the
right. But you want to keep it secret?
We told them just transfer the quote unquote best embryo. We don't care about the gender.
Right.
So we're going to find out mid March, actually. A lot of stuff is happening in March
and April.
So, yeah.
Great.
So exciting. Congratulations on everything. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It means a lot to us that you just shared your story. And I think it'll mean a lot to the people that are listening to you. You're just a story of hope and perseverance.
Yeah, definitely.
So, where are the best places that people should follow you?
Yes. Yeah, so on Instagram, Anna Victoria. YouTube, like Susan said, I'm always working on my YouTube. So Anna Victoria as well. My app is the FitBody app. And
thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.